Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Hey, Dr. Copen, are you there? Are you ready to roll?
I'm ready to roll, Jen.
Okay, wait a minute. Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Lake Forest Hospital.
Well said, well said.
Did that all by myself. Thank you for joining us once again. Those fine folks sponsor this conversation. You know, one of the words that kind of jumps out at me when I look at some of the healthcare news right now is unprecedented, and that is U.S. hospitals bracing for an unprecedented winter of viruses. That's the first time I've seen them. I presume we're talking about the flu and everything else now. Is this going to be a really bad winter, you think, Doc?
I hope not. We have to be prepared for it. It's been several winters where we have not had a significant amount of influenza, of the usual flu. As a matter of fact, a couple of years ago, we literally saw none. That's the first time that's ever happened in my career. Frankly, it's the first time that's happened in any of our lifetimes. So we're kind of primed, unfortunately, for a bad flu season. There's been a nasty flu season in the southern hemisphere. So everybody remember, when it's summer here, it's winter in the southern hemisphere. And right. We always look at Australia. And Australia had a very nasty influenza season. So there's concern, Jen, that we might see the same thing here. The other thing we should mention, and this is important, we're seeing a lot of viral respiratory infections, and it's not COVID, in kids, particularly little kids. So there's something called RSV. I think everyone's heard of that. RSV is a virus, a respiratory virus, that infects kids, particularly little kids. And our hospital emergency rooms throughout the Chicago metropolitan area have really been overrun with kids having a hard time breathing who have either this RSV virus, or there's another kind of virus that's out there, an enterovirus, which is also causing a respiratory infection. So our ERs are very busy. It's difficult to come by pediatric hospital beds right now. So, you know, we're seeing it already, other viruses other than COVID causing respiratory illnesses.
Does that RSV, what was the letters on that, doctor?
Yeah, RSV.
It's RSV.
Respiratory. Here you go, John. This is a good one for you.
Yeah.
Respiratory syncytial virus.
Yeah, I'm not going to get that again. But so does it act or look like a bad cold or pneumonia then?
Yeah, so it's like a bad cold, a cough. Kids get short of breath. It's scary, you know, when moms and dads have a small child who have this, it can be pretty scary.
Well,
and some of those kids need to be hospitalized.
I know.
We need to look long and far sometimes to find an available pediatric bed in the area. And this has been a problem that we've been dealing with now for well over a month.
How do you treat that?
Yeah, it's mostly supportive. It's not like there's medication for it. And thankfully, the vast majority of the kids get better quickly. We just have to support them through that. Sometimes supplemental oxygen, fluids, humidity, those kinds of things help. And the kids get better and you know, we get them out. But I think we're going to continue to see this through the fall now and into the winter.
I want to ask you a couple questions about COVID and boosters. We always do, but I just had another couple of things that I wanted to run by you. I saw a headline in the Wall Street Journal this week, Alzheimer's drugs have limits. And there's a press release and a preliminary report that's out about a drug that purports to slow the development of Alzheimer's by 27%. How much do you know about that? How hopeful should we be about that?
You know, there's so much research going on right now in treatment for Alzheimer's, because as we all know, this is becoming an increasingly important public health problem, not only in America, but throughout the world. So how do we treat it? Right now, we don't have great ways to treat it. So there are medications that are in clinical trials, different types of medications, and we're starting to see now the preliminary results coming out. There's nothing yet that is truly revolutionary, There are several medications that seem to have the ability to slow the progression of Alzheimer's disease, and I think we'll happily take that right now as the research continues, with the hope that we'll have a major breakthrough sometime in the near future.
It was described to us this week as, you're right, not a major breakthrough. I mean, we'll take what we can get, just as you said. And what it may mean on a practical level is mom or dad get to appreciate one more birthday, one more wedding, one more graduation, that sort of thing.
That's right. That's right. And look, that's a very big deal, right? If we can give that, to people who are in the earlier stages of Alzheimer's disease, that's really what we're looking for right now. There is so much basic science going on in this area, John. I'm optimistic that over the next few years, we'll start to see some pretty significant breakthroughs in the understanding of the underlying science that will lead to targeted therapies that will be far more effective than what we have right now. Unfortunately, there's so many people out there who are suffering with cognitive problems, and all the people who love them and care for them having to deal with the ramifications of this terrible disease. Let's just keep hoping that we're going to see that major breakthrough quickly.
We're talking to Dr. Jeffrey Copeland, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Medicine, Lake Forest Hospital. One other quick question about staffing at hospitals. I've heard that that's still an issue, and I don't know that this is an example of that, but my dad has a problem with his tear ducts, and one of his eyes isn't producing enough tears. My dad's 94. He's well enough to, A, he's alive, B, he's well enough to, you know, maybe enjoy a conversation, but he's not as mobile or able as he used to be, and one of his tear ducts isn't functioning so well. And so he has this sort of crusty, sandy feeling in his eye all the time. Here's the point. The appointment that they have for him to have that looked at is going to be the third week of December, and that's as soon as we could get an appointment. That's so unsatisfactory to somebody who has an itchy eye all the time. I don't know what you want to say about scenarios like that, but I'm sure you're frustrated too by scenarios like that over and over these days.
Yeah. You know, I think there's two issues here, John. One is the one that you talk about, the chronic problems we have of access to provide the appropriate care to the appropriate patient at the appropriate time, at the appropriate place, right? I mean, that's really what we all want. That's what we want for ourselves and for our loved ones. Frankly, it's what we want for the entire society. It's not an easy thing to do. You know, in your dad's case, you know, I would hope that, I assume he's waiting to get in to see somebody who's a specialist in that kind of problem. In the meantime, an optometrist actually could help with the crusty feeling and the discomfort. So getting the right care at the right time, particularly for things that might require a surgical procedure, that could take some time to get in. I'll tell you, within Northwestern Medicine, within my healthcare system, we have people working on these issues all the time, because it's just so complicated, and it like you point out, it's not good. We have people who need to see us, and we're trying really hard to get everybody in. It's just hard to do. The other thing I wanted to bring up, you talk about staffing. You know, the issue that you just brought up really is physician staffing. The other issue we have is just staffing overall in healthcare. We went through a great resignation, just like the rest of the economy did. Yeah. Thankfully, it looks like we're starting to reverse that, where people are coming back. But we still have a ways to go before we're going to be fully staffed again in our hospitals and clinics. And John, that might actually also add to the delay in getting your dad in. When we don't have enough support staff, it's difficult for our physicians to be as effective, as productive as we would want them to be and as they ordinarily are.
I've taken a lot of time just bending your ear about my own personal situation. I don't mean to do that. And let me take a quick break. Just give me one other piece of information you want us to know about the on the COVID front, Doctor. We'll pick it up here in a minute on WGN. Just another quick question and answer from Dr. Jeffrey Copen from Northwestern's Lake Forest Hospital. He's the chief medical officer over there. So what's the latest then on the COVID front, doctor? What should we be knowing today?
Yeah, John, so I think we have some good news right now, but that's always great, right? If we remember, CDC last year came out with different levels of transmission. There was high, medium, and low. And now in the state of Illinois, pretty much the entire state, including our Chicago metropolitan area, is in the low transmission category. So that's good. And we're seeing a decrease in the number of positive tests, and hospitalizations are coming down. Unfortunately, the death rate is still kind of at a plateau. It's staying relatively constant, but I expect that we'll start to see that come down too. So let's hope we continue like this. I mean, that it's really an optimistic thing to say, and I want to be optimistic, but I want to temper that by reminding people, please get that bivalent vaccine we've been talking about, the new one that's out there. Both Pfizer and Moderna make it. It doesn't matter which one you get. In addition to the vaccinations that everyone's already had to COVID, please get this new one. It's really important to be well prepared for the fall and winter months. And when you go, get your flu shots.
Yeah. Too. No kidding. Okay. Boy, you think that the two of those combined would be more impetus for people. I'm not sure that it works that way, though. I think we're all getting lax about COVID boosters, and we're not all in the habit of every year getting the flu shot, but it seems like this year, if ever it were imperative, it would be this year.
Absolutely. I think it should be imperative, particularly for our older listeners, to always get the flu shot every fall, this year in particular. Please get it. Get that bivalent COVID shot. Let's be prepared. Should we see a resurgence in the amount of COVID we have in the community? And let's hold off on this flu season from becoming a bad one, because I don't want to see anybody get really ill from influenza, and the influenza shot will keep that from happening.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, doctor. Thanks for joining us once again, and let's do it again next Tuesday.
Looking forward to it, John. Everybody take good care. Bye-bye.
That's the message from the doctor.